tough week for JP Morgan Chase. Losses of $2.3 billion have, as I said, grown to $3 billion. They threatened to go higher, though, and after that trading bet went bad. On top of that, the nation's largest bank is now being investigated by the FBI because of that bet, that trading bet, and two separate shareholders are now suing. Earlier this week, CEO Jamie Dimon apologized to investors at an annual shareholders meeting in Tampa, Florida.
We ended up with a strategy that's flawed, complex, poorly conceived, poorly vetted, and poorly executed. This should never have happened. I can't justify it. Unfortunately, these mistakes were self-inflicted.
Not all shareholders were convinced by that, I'm sorry. At the same meeting, one certain outspoken shareholder demanded a few more answers.
We're wondering, Mr. Dimon, given what we've learned, do you still believe that companies can self-regulate?
It's a good question. And joining us now is that shareholder, Father Seamus Finn, shareholder, priest with Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate, and works with the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility. So he's been an activist shareholder for years. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
First of all, what answer did you get to that question, whether or not companies can self-regulate?
I think basically he told me that I should go back and read his chairman's letters for the recent 18 months, and I didn't really get an answer. And I think that's at the crux of the issue for us anyway.
So, and yet shareholders approved his pay package of more than $20 million and kept him as chairman and CEO. Why?
Well, I suppose call it some level of dysfunction. He is kind of considered star power. He might be betting cleanup if he was on your local baseball team. So he still does have that level of attractiveness. He has done a good job in certain areas with a very, very big institution. But I don't think shareholders still realize the kind of authority that they have when it comes to voting on some of these issues. Many of these votes are very new in terms of being able to vote on compensation issues. And so we'll get there, but it's slow. It was disappointing that a number of shareholders that weighed in on the vote gave it such a level of approval. I'm not sure if the vote were taken now, after the revelations about the $2.3 billion misstep, would be the same. Same thing on the other resolution about separating chair and having an independent board director as chair of the board.
Do you think that if the Volcker rule had been in place, do you think this particular trade would have been illegal?
Who knows? I mean, it's the Volcker rule has been beaten up and bullied in so many rounds in the last number of months that it's hard for us to exactly be able to conclusively say that it would have helped. Would it have made the trade illegal? I think economists are going to argue on both sides of it. I think it would, but since we don't have it and we have mutations of it at this stage, it's hard to tell.
But it could be argued that stronger regulations could have avoided this particular loss. And since Jamie Dimon has been one of the most outspoken critics of regulation of the banks and the Volcker rule in particular, do you think he's being held accountable enough considering his role in lobbying against these regulations?
I don't think he's being held accountable enough or the entire industry and the entire sector. I mean, I think Barney Frank said if the regulations were in place, they estimated it would have cost him $500 million. That's only a quarter of $2 billion. So the argument doesn't stand – the logic doesn't stand the test of just close examination. The issue on the regulation is out there. Obviously, we've been arguing for a strong Dodd-Frank piece of legislation. We've been involved in the rule setting and the regulation writing process with the different regulators. But the behavior of the banks and the behavior of the industry, in my estimation, has absolutely been obstruction, obstruction, obstruction.
We're speaking with Father Seamus Finn, who works with the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility and had a few polite, courteous, but pointed questions for Jamie Dimon at the shareholders meeting in Tampa, Florida. And you must be watching what's been happening in the UK, where shareholders are really kind of fomenting a revolution to a certain extent. I wonder what it would take to see that kind of shareholder activism in the U.S.
It's been difficult maybe to get it to a level where it's noticeable, but it's certainly improved over my 25, 30 years in doing this. I think we've got a lot more pension funds that are waking up to the fact that their shirts are being stolen by Wall Street. In terms of their returns and their liabilities they're going to be facing in terms of paying out to people that are putting money in their pension funds and responsibilities that they have 30 years down the road. I think one of the things that's kept people off the playing field on this is it's been extremely complex. So it's now becoming much easier. You can do it from your desk at home. You can follow what's going on in terms of the proxies that you get. You can vote electronically. No need for all those fax machines, postage stamps, figuring out where to put the X and things like that. So that's becoming more available to people. And I think hopefully people are becoming more educated about what actually shareholder democracy is. Because as a shareholder, you're a part owner. People just don't recognize that all the time, I guess, and don't feel like they know what to do.
But as a part owner, do you have an expectation that you will make money on J.P. Morgan shares, or is it much more important for you to push this particular agenda, which sets you apart from the shareholders who really do want to make money on the rising value of J.P. Morgan Chase shares?
No, we have responsibility to make money. I mean, we're not this is not part of our charity portfolio or our philanthropy portfolio. We're interested in that the company be a good company and that the company improve in its particular business model and in its practices. And then we believe we can make money and the company can also grow.
One of the other questions you had for Jamie Dimon, the chairman and CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, was about the amount of money the bank spends on lobbying. I mean, that's an uphill battle. Most banks spend millions of dollars lobbying against regulations. Why bring that up? I mean, do you feel like you have a chance to get them to change policy?
Well, I think everybody knows that money has, you know, tainted American politics and the legislative process, whether it's in campaigns and elections, and we see that visibly before us in 2012, but also in actually the actual legislation writing and in the regulation writing. I mean, an inordinate amount of money was spent by associations and by individual banks, by the Chamber of Commerce. And we're fine with that as long as they're clear about how much they're spending and what they're spending it on. A lot more transparency. We don't think it's a good investment of $7 million by J.P. Morgan Chase to lobby against the rules on Dodd-Frank. Would have preferred to have Mr. Dimon come forward as Mr. Blankfein did at Goldman Sachs 2 years ago and say, we're creating a business standards review committee. Here are the members of the committee. They're going to look across every business line in the company, and they're going to come out with some recommendations in 8 or 9 months that's going to help us to get beyond the particular debacle that this trading bet has put it in play.
Although, considering Jamie Dimon's recent comments, it doesn't look like that's coming anytime soon at J.P. Morgan Chase.
Well, yeah, he's totally ambivalent, as I would put it.
Father Seamus Finn worked with the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility, a shareholder in J.P. Morgan Chase. Thank you so much.
Sure. Have a good day.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.